on this episode of Rev Hang.
Once the camera turns on, the brain turns off.
Yeah, I'm not seeing anything immediately in the headlines.
I think it's the first Miami Grand Prix that I did not fall asleep during.
Yeah, luckily I got into F1 by watching it with friends of mine at college, so I didn't have to go through that.
Hello everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Rev Hang. I am Nathan, as always, and alongside me across the airwaves, thanks to the power of Discord, not a sponsor, is my good friend and co-host, Ben Bagley. How you doing, Ben?
Maybe if we were sponsored by Discord, we wouldn't have to share all of our screens in 720p 30fps.
Maybe. Get that free Discord Nitro, or whatever you get with that. I don't know if you get that with that.
Subs?
Something
Amazon
like that.
Amazon Prime? I don't know.
Yeah, maybe. Anyway, this is not a sponsorship-seeking podcast. Actually, I'm not going to say that. This is a sponsorship-seeking podcast, but this is also a racing podcast.
Easy there.
Let me not shoot myself down before we even get started.
Yeah, you got to make money somehow.
Somehow. That would be nice. Anyway, let's just jump right into this racing podcast. We've got a lot of paddock news this week. I'm sure I have missed things. It has been quite the week. I have, in fact, missed things.
Well, it's been a couple weeks, actually.
It has been a couple weeks, and missed a big one, but we got a
single headline that just says Andretti.
Yes. All right. First off, big news this week. Adrian Newey, the technical director for Red Bull Racing, has left Red Bull Racing and is yet to announce where he will be continuing his career.
I'm honestly betting he's just going to take a break.
I think so, too.
Kind of got that vibe from it.
The two biggest leading options are Ferrari and Williams. And, of course, I guess the third option is that he retires or takes an extended leave. Either one really makes sense. Ferrari makes sense just because they're not at the bottom. He could tweak that car and make it great, I'm sure. And then Williams kind of makes sense because if he wants the experience of starting from a bottom team and bringing it to glory like he has in the past, I think that would be a good spot for him. And Williams is also the first team he worked for, I believe.
I was going to say, that was my connection, was that was kind of the first team he started with. So
yeah, so maybe bringing them back to their glory. And then, of course, he could retire because he has done more than enough in the sport to earn his spot in whatever Hall of Fames there may be.
Yeah, I've been an engineer for like a couple of years, and I'm like, I could retire. That's enough work. Yeah. So I have no idea how he feels.
Yeah. All right, so that is the big Adrian Newey news. We also have David Malukas was cut from McLaren in the IndyCar series this week as well. Unclear yet who will replace him, but all signs point to Théo Pourchaire.
Who's been killing it.
Absolutely destroying it, and that's probably the reason why. Unfortunate for David, he was injured. I think he broke his wrist at the end of the offseason. We have a lot of wrist injuries at the end of off-seasons in motorsport for some reason.
Could you imagine if Lance Stroll had been dropped by Aston Martin after his wrist injury?
Yeah. And then
different timeline.
A couple years ago, Fernando Alonso was in a bicycling accident. And, well, I think two of the three of these were bicycling.
Stroll.
Well, yeah. Stroll was too. I think Alonso was also a cycling accident, but that was back when he was with Alpine. So that was a little while ago. But, yeah, lots of cycling accidents. Valtteri Bottas, you better watch out.
Yeah.
Anyway, so David Malukas was cut from the team. Unfortunate for him. Unlikely he will get another drive this year. Maybe in the future, because he is quick, but he also crashes a lot. Excuse me for trying not to sneeze. I'm making faces here.
That's okay. I can't see it, so. It's otherwise, funny. I'd make fun of you.
Yeah, it's okay. Nico Hülkenberg has signed with Audi starting next year. It'll still be Sauber, but yeah. Good stuff.
Exciting.
Yes.
I think, did either of us call that?
I think you did.
Did I really?
It was one of us did. I think you did, and you convinced me that I was wrong on my pick, and then I didn't change it, but I don't remember for sure. I try not to look at the predictions halfway through the season or until the end. Well, we do that in the mid-season review, but between the mid-seasons and the end of the season, I can't really think of how to English this right now, but we only look at them during the mid-season review. That's
There we
what I
go.
try. Yeah.
Fair enough. Yeah, I don't remember any of the predictions that I made,
Yeah. I think one
really.
of my
So,
predictions was that Lando Norris would win a race this year. So, spoiler
there you
alert,
go.
I think we got that. But yes, it is a good day to be a McLaren fan, currently. Also a good day to be a Seattle Mariners fan. They've just won their sixth series in a row. Anyway, this is not a baseball podcast, as much as I kind of wish it was.
Yeah, I wouldn't be on here if it was a baseball podcast.
This is
I'm
true.
just being real with you.
Yeah, no, I understandable. It's not for everybody. All right. So Hülkenberg goes to Audi, got a German driver in that team now. The second seat is up in the air. It was just rumored today that Yuki Tsunoda is on the short list for that seat if Carlos Sainz does not happen.
I'd be super down for that.
Yep. He's also on the short list for Aston Martin if Sainz doesn't happen, from what I understand. Or if, well, I guess. No, that wouldn't make sense unless they cut Stroll, but there are rumors to Aston Martin as well if they
There's a
decide to cut
non-zero
Stroll.
chance of that happening.
Yes. Okay. Next up, we've got Ferrari, who landed an HP sponsorship about a week and a half ago. They announced it, and then the next week, half their car, not even half their car, 10% of their car is blue, and it looks horrible. In my opinion,
I have thoughts on this
you have thoughts on
as
this?
somebody who used to work at HP.
Oh, I'm sure you do, and I can't wait to hear
It's
your thoughts, but
the allocation of funds that goes to sponsoring major European sports teams versus funding certain sites in the United States.
I don't know
But
how much context you want to give for this, Ben.
I don't think I signed an NDA, but again, that's a whole different podcast. But yeah, I raised both my eyebrows when I saw this news, considering some of the stuff that's going on at the place where I formerly worked.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. So yeah, you did formerly work there. Not currently. You just got a new job.
No, and it's going really well. I have so many responsibilities.
Well, that's cool. Are they gonna sponsor an F1 team anytime soon?
The company's 150 people, so I'd be very surprised and perhaps even more disappointed if we did.
Yeah. That would make sense. Yeah. It would be surprising. I'm sure.
Yeah. So I'm perfectly happy with the company where I'm at, not sponsoring anybody in the near future.
Yeah. All right. And then our last piece of news is a big one. I can't believe I almost forgot it. But the US government has gotten involved in the Andretti to Formula One case.
Get 'em, boys.
Yeah, Mario Andretti was not lying when he said back in February that this wasn't over.
The letter that they wrote was one of the first truly bipartisan actions of Congress that I've seen in a very long time, too. It was
It is,
incredible. It's
yeah.
united people across the row.
Yeah, we got 12 congressmen, I think,
Yeah.
all writing to FOM, Formula One Management, asking why Andretti is being blocked, and basically threatening to use US laws like the Sherman Antitrust Act to force FOM to let Andretti onto the grid as an American team, and a competitor, even in the car manufacturing world, when they have Cadillac as their engine supplier. I know the European teams are concerned about the competition that Cadillac could bring, even with car sales versus like Mercedes and I'm sure what's another car manufacturer that could actually lose sales to Cadillac? Not
Like
Ferrari.
domestically in the United States?
Well, I'm just thinking in general around the world. Ferrari is not going to lose sales because anyone who's buying a Ferrari is going to buy a Ferrari.
It would probably be like Audi.
Yeah.
BMW isn't involved in the sport, but they're definitely a competitor, especially.
We're talking engine suppliers. Honda is another one.
Honda, not as much. I don't really see many people cross shopping a Cadillac with a Honda.
Yeah. So maybe Mercedes and Audi would be the two that are affected.
Yeah.
That's the only thing that makes sense to me.
Yeah. And, well, I have many thoughts on the Mercedes and Audi versus Cadillac car portfolio, and I have problems with all of them. But
yeah,
that is another different podcast.
Another podcast.
Ben rants about German car manufacturers.
Yeah. I guess Aston Martin is possible. It's just kind of weird. Cadillac is such a different manufacturer to those ones. Like, Cadillac's kind of got the luxury thing going, but also they've got the Dodge Power thing going. Even though they're separate, but they're both owned by GM.
What are you saying? Jesse, what are you saying?
I don't know what I'm saying.
Dodge is not owned by...
were owned by Fiat. That's right. They got acquired.
Stellantis now.
Yeah. There's so many weird things in the car manufacturing world. Like, everybody owns everybody now. It's crazy how much Volkswagen owns, if you, look at it.
Yeah, so Mercedes, Audi, and BMW are all separate companies.
Yes. But Audi is owned by Volkswagen.
Yes. From my point of view, I think, at least marketing-wise, I think BMW and Cadillac are the closest competitors out of that bunch, which I know BMW's not in there, but
that makes sense.
Portfolio-wise, they're probably the closest competitors. And the next would be Mercedes. Audi's kind of off doing their own thing, and they have, you know, a slightly different cachet of customers, I'd say, than the other two.
Yeah. Anyway, that's the excuse, I think, that I don't even know. But Congress is getting involved. They're asking questions. They want answers. I think a response was due 2 days ago, and we haven't heard anything, so who really knows? But
Well, you know who else Congress has problems with right now and has antitrust problems against them in the United States?
Who's that?
Ticketmaster. Do you know who owns Ticketmaster? Liberty Media.
Do they really?
Yeah.
Wow, I did not know that.
Hold on, let me fact check this before I make an ass out of myself. But
well, and then we've got also Disney could get involved because Disney owns ESPN. You can't tell me that Disney's not cornering the market on literally everything entertainment based. Yeah, I see you looking stuff up over there, Ben. There's a lot.
Yeah, okay, so Live Nation owns Ticketmaster.
Okay.
And who owns Live Nation? Sorry for the keyboard.
Oh, it's all good. Well, while you find that, Liberty Media could come under fire for this. They own Formula One. They control Formula One. And so there's a possibility that things could happen because since Formula One is technically an American entity, we have to follow American laws, which means the U.S. Congress actually does have an extreme amount of power over what happens here.
Okay, Live Nation is a split off of Liberty Media.
There you go. So Liberty Media now is fighting on two fronts for very different reasons.
Which it gives a lot of firepower to the congressional actions if they already have an investigation against a related company under the same umbrella.
Yeah. Basically, long story short, this may seem like a desperate attempt from Andretti, but this one could very well actually work. There's actually power players here that have pull and can make decisions in Andretti's favor. So this is big news for sure, and something to follow.
The only thing that could possibly bring our nation's Congress together is fighting the Europeans on industry.
We've done it before, we'll do it again.
That is our favorite thing to do.
Yeah. That's one other interesting thing, topic of conversation maybe for another podcast, but motorsport has always gotten entangled in like world, not necessarily politics, but you know, rivalries. Like, I'm trying to think of an example for what I'm trying to say, but like in the chess world, like in boxing, you've got countries that have their representation with their fighter, and then, you know, things outside of the sport that have nothing to do with it kind of get tied into the meaning of that. And it's happened before in Formula One, long time ago, but it might be happening again if we get the U.S. government involved in this.
International proxy wars being fought by Formula One teams.
Love to see it. Happens at the Olympics, too. The Olympics are like a prime spot for it.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, we do have the Summer Olympics this year.
Kind of forgot about that,
flew under the radar. Yeah,
that's crazy.
All right, let's move on. Lots of ranting going on. I already think this is going to be a long episode.
I wasn't even trying this time.
Yeah, I know. We're not even to the racing yet, but let's move into it. Starting with the IndyCar Grand Prix at Alabama, the Children's of Alabama Grand Prix at the Barber Motorsports Park. Very cool track, generally generates pretty good races. So let's start with pole position and qualifying. We'll give you the top 10 for context. It was Scott McLaughlin on pole, followed by Will Power and Christian Lundgaard. Fourth and fifth were O'Ward and Rosenqvist, and 6 through 10 were Armstrong, Ray Hall, Newgarden, and Kirkwood, and Palou. And then going into the race, McLaughlin maintained the lead at turn 1. There was an incident at turn 1 when three cars spun out, but every car kept going. That was at the back of the field. On lap 2, Santino Ferrucci hit Colton Herta, and both drivers were able to continue, but it was a little bit too much elbows out, I think. Later on that lap, O'Ward went off the track, but was able to continue after keeping it out of the wall. On lap 5, Santino Ferrucci once again hit Colton Herta. Both drivers continued, and Ferrucci got the position he was fighting so desperately for. On lap 6, Pato O'Ward speared into Pietro Fittipaldi and ended his race. absolutely taking everybody out this weekend, O'Ward was. On lap 25...
The old Magnussen maneuver.
Yeah. On lap 25, Christian Rasmussen went off the track trying to overtake Marcus Ericsson, but he was able to continue. On lap 33, Marcus Armstrong hit Newgarden in passing. This caused Newgarden to drop back. On lap 46, Rossi's rear wheel came off after a bad pit stop. This caused a caution and ended Alex Rossi's race. On lap 52, a mannequin fell off an overpass and landed next to the track.
That was an actual person for a little bit. A split second. I was like, oh my God.
Yeah.
This is incredible.
Seeing it.
It's the best race ever.
It was one of the weirdest things I've ever seen on a live race. Definitely will be in some IndyCar highlight reels from here on. Yeah, definitely an odd moment. We had a mannequin fall on the track. Scott McLaughlin hit it and took half of its arm off.
Absolutely whacked it.
Yeah. But they didn't actually throw a caution for that, because three laps later, Stingray Robb's steering wheel broke, sending him careening into the wall, and caused a caution for that, and that's when they were able to go pick up the mannequin.
To which he replied, and I actually wrote this down because I thought it was so funny, gosh dang it.
Yeah, he did.
Gosh dang it, guys.
He said gosh dang it after having a very eventful race and
on national TV.
Out. Yeah. That was really funny. Up there with Max Verstappen's LOL after the sprint race.
Yeah.
With 12 laps to go, Canapino hit Rasmussen and spun him out. With 5 laps to go, Rasmussen spun out again on his own this time and caused a caution after stopping on the track and stalling the car. McLaughlin then pulled away on the restart and won the race from there. So, going through the results... We got in first place Scott McLaughlin, followed by Will Power and Linus Lundqvist with his first podium. Fourth and fifth, we have Rosenqvist and Palou. Sixth through 10, we've got Lundgaard, Ferrucci, Herta, Armstrong, and Kirkwood. 11 through 15 is Grosjean, Harvey, Simpson, and Dixon. 16 through 20, Newgarden, VK, Eriksson, Blomqvist, and Canepino. And 21 through 25 was Luca Giotto, Teo Porcher, Pato O'Ward, Christian Rasmussen, and Alex Rossi. Okay, so Rasmussen did finish the race. So Rossi in 25th was our first DNF, and our second two were Stingray Robb and Pietro Fittipaldi.
A good comeback for Penske this time.
Yeah.
You really needed it.
They did, after Joseph Newgarden and Scott McLaughlin got disqualified from St. Petersburg. I'm not sure if we talked about this last episode, if it even happened by then.
No, we didn't, I don't think.
Did we not? Okay, so there's some more paddock news. Joseph Newgarden and Scott McLaughlin were disqualified from the race at St. Pete, which Newgarden actually won, but no longer. Pato O'Ward now takes the win for that race, so he has a win on the season. But yeah, Newgarden and McLaughlin were disqualified, and then Will Power got 10 championship points taken away from him for misusing the push to pass. I believe they said that the car was still in testing spec, and so there was no limit on when you could push to pass button. And so they were doing it on restarts, which you are apparently not allowed to do, which I did not know.
And didn't Joseph Newgarden say something about, like, he thought there was a rules change or something like that, so he thought it would be okay? Or something like that?
Yeah, and that's the thing, is he incriminated himself and his team by saying that. He's like, oh, we thought the rules changed, so I thought I wasn't doing anything wrong. But then just by saying that, he fully admitted that he knew that he was doing it and the team knew that he was doing it.
Yeah.
So, didn't get away with that one. But I guess he kind of owned up to it. Maybe. Unless he did know it was wrong and was hoping to get away with it. In which case, I don't know why he was thinking that. If he thought he could just get away with that over the course of the full season, I think he would have had another thing
coming. People would have noticed.
Yeah. Somebody would have noticed. But anyway, so that's a little bit of racing news for you. Moving on to the...
It's good that even though Penske owns the championship, they're still able to... or owns the sport, they're able to, you know, buckle down on their team, essentially.
Yeah.
Make sure that is a good thing. Get out. Even if it did take a while, I mean, you would have thought that you would have caught that immediately after the race.
Yeah, but there's so much data that they have to parse through. But they did find it. At least it's not like three quarters of the way through the season, and then all of a sudden the championship is turned on its head. But yeah, no, it did take a while, but they at least found it, and found it before too many races had gone by, so... Hopefully, they didn't do this again. I'm sure they're being watched now, but they won't do it again. There's no way they will. So, yeah, I guess it's good that it happened earlier rather than later. And if Penske had been doing this for, you know, five or six races before they caught the first one, and then all of a sudden their cars are disqualified from the first half of the season, that's not... good.
that would destroy the sport just about.
Yeah, that would cause problems. But all right, moving back onto this race and the talking points, Pato O'Ward and Santino Ferrucci were absolute menaces on the track this week. They were not afraid to get elbows out and punt people off the track.
No, it looked like they had nothing to lose. They weren't even going for points. They just wanted chaos.
Yeah, I think it was pretty clear that O'Ward was driving a little bit over the limit, because most of his incidents with people were after he made a mistake and almost lost the car and then slingshotted himself into the other person. So not intentional, but just pushing too hard. And then Ferrucci seemed a little more like, hey, I'm just going to go here, and if you're there, then I'm going to hit you, but don't be there. So I don't know. I think Ferrucci looked a little worse to me from that light, but Award also just ended careers this week, so not great.
Yeah. It was a good couple weeks for torpedoing drivers.
It really was. Yeah, we had Award, Ferrucci, and Magnussen. And Lewis Hamilton, but he got away with everything.
Because he's not Spanish.
Right. Fernando Alonso not happy this week. Okay, next up we got Scott McLaughlin is back on form. He hasn't won a race in a while. And he now has another one under his belt. Coming back from that disqualification in St. Pete news. Come back and winning the race and getting some good points for himself after a pretty slow start to the season. Christian Rasmussen was spin happy. He has not been good this year. Worst rookie probably by far. Well, maybe not. There's a lot of pretty bad rookies this year, but we do have a good one.
Stingray Porcher. Rob isn't technically a rookie anymore, is he?
He's not, but he's not okay. Doing much better than he did last season.
No, I was going to say, he's at least doing better than Stingray Rob.
Yeah, looking well, at...
No, he's 1 point behind. Never mind.
Yeah, and the other drivers haven't raced in every race this year, and were stand-ins. So, Christian Rasmussen is actually the worst rookie this year. He's done three races now, championship races, and is behind Théo Pourchaire, who has done two. And of course, IndyCar drivers get points whenever they finish. They don't. It's not like F1 where half the drivers don't get points. So missing a whole race means a lot more in the back of the field. Théo Pourchaire is absolutely killing it, doing a great job. Rasmussen came up. Was he F2? He might have been F2. His name rings a bell, so it might have been the F2, the Formula One feeders that he came through. But I'm not sure. Théo Pourchaire definitely was.
I always think of the Russian guy from the song, Rasputin.
Oh, yeah.
Not Rasmussen.
Yeah.
Mainly the villain from the, what was that, like the Kingsman spinoff, like the Kingsman prequel movie or whatever it was?
I don't remember. I don't think I ever saw it.
Guy. It wasn't very good, I didn't think, but the villain was Rasputin, and he was like this big bearded guy, and that's all I can picture when I think of Rasmussen.
Got it. All right, let's move on to Formula One and the Miami Grand Prix. I am very excited to talk about this.
Many exciting things happened, which we did not anticipate.
Yeah, Miami was really good this year, shockingly. To everybody's surprise. But delight, it was just a fantastic race, and no complaints about it. Sprint was even good. And speaking of which, let's go into the sprint qualifying. Max Verstappen got pole position, as always, followed by Leclerc and Perez. Daniel Ricciardo qualified fourth, his first time looking pretty good this year. Maybe second, because he looked good in China, too. Fifth was Carlos Sainz. Sixth through 10 were Piastri, Stroll, Alonso, Norris, and Hülkenberg. At the start of the sprint, Verstappen maintained the lead. Hamilton dove down the inside of Alonso into turn one, sending him into Stroll, and then Stroll into Norris, and then Norris spun out and was forced to retire. Stroll's car was too damaged to continue the race, and this whole incident caused a safety car, during which Lando Norris walked across the track to the pit lane and earned himself a $50,000 fine from the FIA. Would be a blemish on this weekend if it wasn't for what happened later on that weekend, this weekend.
Yeah. Can you imagine getting fined $50,000 or something like that?
Yeah, it's pretty nuts. And I think, see, they said in the race it was 25, so I think it was already knocked down. And then I wouldn't be surprised if it was knocked down again, because I'm sure they'll protest this, because I think Lewis Hamilton was fined for the same thing in Qatar last year, and I think he only got a $10,000 fine, so they'll probably fight it to make it a more consistent penalty.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Because it was essentially the exact same incident in Qatar. Hamilton got spun out in turn one. His car was sitting in the runoff, and he just walked across the track during the safety car into the pit lane and was fined $10,000.
I do remember that.
Yeah. That was when Russell took him out.
Yeah. It's not nearly as funny as Sebastian Vettel.
Russell blamed Hamilton for it.
Yeah, it's not nearly as funny as Sebastian Vettel during the Australian Grand Prix borrowing the steward's or the marshal's scooter to ride around the track.
That was absolutely worth whatever he got fined for that. And then, of course, we have
that was like $50,000.
Was it? Was it that much?
Yeah.
Jeez. And then Verstappen fined $50,000 in 2021 for touching Hamilton's rear wing. That was another one.
Yeah, that was a good joke for a while.
It really was.
Even a lot of engineers were looking at the car or talking to their drivers.
Don't touch the
rear wing. And park farmers like, don't touch it. Very expensive.
Yeah. That was a good meme for a while. All right, next up. Verstappen pulled away on the restart, to nobody's surprise. On lap 5, Perez passed Ricciardo for P3. On lap 11, Magnussen went off the track defending Hamilton and bumped wheels with him as he did so, and that earned him a penalty. On lap 14, Magnussen shoved Hamilton off the track while defending. This led Tsunoda by Hamilton and gave Magnussen another penalty. 10-second penalty for K-Mag twice.
Yeah.
Hate to see that. And then I think he got a third one for something else. Pit lane infraction, probably.
Yeah, yeah, because I think by the time he, spoilers, hit Logan Sargeant, that was his fifth penalty of the weekend.
Yeah, pretty wild. I want to see what the penalty points look like after. Yeah,
and then he failed to serve the penalty correctly.
Yep, served the penalty incorrectly wrong. Yep, and then, it was Zhou Guan Yu that crossed the line on pit exit, so that was different. But yeah, so that was the sprint race. We'll go through the results real quick. First place was Max Verstappen, followed by Leclerc and Perez. Fourth was Daniel Ricciardo, and fifth was Carlos Sainz. Ricciardo with a fantastic drive to maintain that P4. 6 through 10, we had Piastri, Hulkenberg, Tsunoda, Gasly, and Sargeant. 11 through 15, we had Zhou Guan Yu, George Russell, Alex Albon, Valtteri Bottas, and Esteban Ocon. 16 through 18, running off the finishers were Hamilton, Alonso, and Magnussen. And then we had Stroll and Norris as our two DNFs. All right. Top 10 in qualifying for the race. We had Max Verstappen on pole position, followed by Charles Leclerc and Carlos Sainz. Then 4th and 5th, we had Perez and Norris. 6 through 10, we had Piastri, Russell, Hamilton, Hulkenberg, and Tsunoda. Notably, Fernando Alonso qualified 15th, way back there this week. And Daniel Ricciardo started the race 20th after a poor qualifying and took a penalty. I don't remember what the penalty was for. Might have been for something the week prior. That seems to ring a bell. Three-place grid penalty for something.
Yeah, I don't remember what that was for.
Yeah, I don't either. But I think it was for something he did last week in China. Or 2 weeks ago, but that escapes me at the moment. Anyway, moving into the race highlights, Verstappen got away well, as always. Perez dove down the inside of turn one, taking notes from Hamilton the day before, and almost took 5 drivers out. Very reminiscent of Hungary in 2021.
Memories.
The Bottas bowling incident. Only this time,
nothing happened. It was kind of funny watching Verstappen and the other podium finishers in the
cool down room
watching the footage.
Verstappen's face when they showed Perez like less than an inch from taking him out of the race.
Bro was flabbergasted. He could not believe it.
Yeah. He was so close. That was almost. And Norris would have won the race anyway, and it would have been way less eventful, I think, if Verstappen DNF'd. But we'll talk about that in a little bit. All right, Piastri got up to P3 after turn one. On lap 4, Piastri passed Leclerc for P2. The Mercedes both moved through the field at the beginning of the race pretty quickly. On lap 24, Verstappen pitted for hard tires, and 4 laps later, Sainz and Piastri pitted. Later on that lap, on lap 28, Sargeant and Magnussen collided, causing a safety car, and that promoted Lando to P1. After he went long, betting on a safety car, he got what he wanted, and then they screwed up the safety car procedure a little bit, which just made it even easier for him to maintain the lead after pitting under safety car conditions.
It was so weird. I blinked. It felt like I blinked, and all of a sudden, Lando Norris was 40 seconds ahead of Verstappen.
Yeah. Well, so they have to follow a delta, and so I got scared when I saw Lando pulling, like, an extra 5 to 10 seconds a lap out on Verstappen. I was like, is he not following the delta? And then I realized that it's because the safety car picked up Verstappen, assuming that he was in front, and let Lando go out way out in P1, so they had to kind of reset everything, which was interesting. I just, you know, I texted you during the race. I was having 2021 flashbacks for two races specifically. One was Russia, where Norris was in the lead and then just absolutely blew it at the end.
Yep.
And then the second one was Abu Dhabi. We have a Williams spinning backwards into a wall, causing a safety car, and then the safety car procedure gets super messed up, and this promotes somebody to the lead that may not have entirely deserved it.
If I had a nickel... every single time a Williams driver crashed and gave an unexpected victor the win for a race, I'd have two nickels.
It's not a lot, but it's weird that it's happened twice. Yeah, so that was pretty pretty funny there. 2021 flashbacks for sure. Not quite as high stakes though, I'd say.
Yeah.
All right, what do we got next? Norris had a great restart and pulled away from Verstappen. On lap 39, Sainz passed Piastri but hit him in the process, damaging the McLaren. On lap 48, Alonso passed Ocon for P9. It is possible. I know it was under investigation after the race that Sainz could get a penalty for hitting Piastri when he passed him. Seems unlikely to me that he'll get a penalty. But the stewards have been very inconsistent this week. And yeah. So who really knows? But nothing as of recording this has been announced yet.
Yeah, I'm not seeing anything immediately in the headlines.
Yeah. All right. Now the results. First place. McLaren driver Lando Norris, for the first time in his career, wins the race. I am a very happy man. Been waiting for this for a long time. Been a Lando fan since I started watching F1 in 19. Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like that's when a lot of people started watching F1, especially our age.
Yeah, am I a DTS fan? You could classify me as that, but also I follow things a lot closer than the average DTS fan that gets flamed on the internet.
Yeah, we're so much better than them.
Yeah.
Just to clarify.
I became a
you
fan because...
DTS, we're better than you.
No. I watched DTS, and that is what made me a fan, but I don't think I'd classify myself as a DTS fan.
Yeah, luckily... I got into F1 by watching it with friends of mine at college, so I didn't have to go through that.
You did not have to go through
that. Makes me better than everyone.
You are. Flex your superiority, Ben.
Yeah.
For not watching a pretty bad Netflix series now.
To be fair, I did watch the first three seasons, and the first two seasons definitely actually helped my understanding of the sport.
Yeah.
The third season was a little bit much.
Yeah, it's gotten pretty bad, but yes,
we have another podcast where we've talked about this.
Yeah, first two seasons are the best, so watch the first two and stop. And then just follow r/FormulaDank on Reddit, and that's all you'll ever need.
Yeah, that'll give you all the history you need.
Yeah. All right. Where were we? So, Lando Norris wins the race, followed by Max Verstappen in second and Charles Leclerc in third. Fourth and fifth were Sainz and Perez. 6 through 10 were Hamilton, Tsunoda, Russell, Alonso, and Ocon. Ocon scoring Alpine's first points this year. 11 through 15 is Hülkenberg, Gasly, Piastri, Zhou, and Ricciardo. And then 17 through 19, rounding off the finishers, were Stroll, Magnussen, and Albon. Albon with an absolutely atrocious race, not sure why. And then our DNF was Logan Sargeant through... The commentators made it seem like it was no fault of his own. I'm going to go 60-40 on that one.
I'm on that side. I think it was solid, you know, 85% Magnussen.
Yeah. I think, 70-30 is probably where I'd put that. But it definitely more Magnussen's fault, getting way too optimistic.
A driver can always watch to try to see where another driver is, but he was very clearly ahead of Magnussen.
Yeah.
Magnussen very clearly overextended on that dive.
Yeah, for sure. I think, yeah, it was Magnussen's fault, I'd say, more so. But at the same time, I don't think you can't put any blame on Sargeant.
Yeah.
If he was looking in his mirrors, that wouldn't have happened. But
yeah, that's probably true.
Granted, at that speed in that corner, you're not going to be looking in your mirrors, so that's why it's more Magnussen's fault. But anyway...
Unless you're Fernando Alonso, who's always looking in his mirrors.
That's true. Okay. Talking points. Lando's first win. Talked about this a little bit. I'm very happy that he won the way he did. It was not one of those crazy races where all the front runners crash out in turn one, and then we get a new race winner just out of pure randomness, kind of like Ocon's first win. Very happy that it was a normal race, and Verstappen did not DNF, and Lando simply outpaced him.
Yeah, it was super cool to see, and clearly he's very happy about it. And it was cool to see all the other drivers also be very happy about it.
Yeah. Oh, that was one of the coolest things, too. Yeah. Was watching all the drivers congratulate him. You can tell everybody is just super happy for him.
Yeah.
Which is awesome. Awesome sportsmanship. In the paddock, I've never seen, I haven't seen Max that happy in a long time, and he's not even the one that won the race.
He's probably happier about that than his third championship, honestly.
Right. Him and Lando are close friends, so it does make sense, but I just thought it was really funny. You see Max absolutely losing his mind in the seat while he's congratulating Lando next to him on the track. So... That was pretty funny. Great drive for Lando. He won driver of the day, absolutely deservedly so. Tire whisperer the entire weekend. Got unlucky in the sprint, but absolutely destroyed it in the race. Did everything he needed to do, and is starting to pose questions to Red Bull as to how good the McLaren actually is.
Have they been sandbagging all season?
I don't... doubt it, but with all these upgrades that have come out, McLaren looks on par with Ferrari, if not a little faster. Even Piastri was holding his own against two very, very good drivers and two very fast cars, to the point where Sainz basically had to destroy his race to get past him. I don't think it was intentional, but, yeah. Piastri's holding his own for sure. Piastri honestly looked better than Lando for most of the weekend.
Piastri had a better chance at the start of the race, too.
Yeah. Very good race from Piastri. It is not his fault that he finished 13th. I think the
Sainz
team...
is out for blood after that off-track shenanigans.
Yeah. The team is, I would say, more than likely very happy with Oscar's performance that race.
Yeah. If they keep up like this, and Adrian Newey is enough of a loss to Red Bull, it's super feasible that McLaren could be very much a race winner more often.
Yeah, absolutely.
Maybe not next year, but the year after.
Yeah,
for sure.
For sure. All right, and where were we? We were down here. I'm like looking through the script, and I got lost. Talked about Magnussen a lot. Daniel Ricciardo. Is he back or is he not?
Bro is not back.
He is not back. Well, I don't know. He had a very bad qualifying, but a very good sprint qualifying, very good sprint race. Horrible qualifying. Race was probably even worse. This all after a great weekend in China that ended poorly because of Lance Stroll. But yeah, I was hoping to see Ricardo back on form. Sprint race looked great, and then the race came around and he was absolutely nowhere.
Yeah. No, for a little bit during the sprint, I was on the slightly on the we're so back side of the spectrum, but after watching the actual race, I'm firmly back on the it's so over side of the spectrum.
Yeah. Yeah. Crazy how one little thing can flip everybody's opinion of somebody.
Yeah. That's just really how it works. I want him to do well.
I do too.
It seemed like he had so much momentum at Renault towards the end.
Yeah.
And then he just it scrubbed it all away essentially.
Yeah. It's super sad. But he's got, if he doesn't get replaced mid-season, which I hope they don't, he's got the rest of the season to do what he can. And there's a lot of season left.
Yep. Yeah, how many races do we have left?
That was 6 out of 24, so we're
18 left.
A quarter of the way through the season. Yeah.
We have a full IndyCar season left.
Yeah. All right, next up, Logan Sargeant. This is kind of in the paddock news and rumor section. This could be Sargeant's last race. It is a possibility. I don't know what kind of likelihood I put on it. Probably 33% chance that this is his last race.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you on that percentage.
Yeah, there. So the story is, Kimi Antonelli is rumored to be the next driver at Williams. He's a Formula 2 driver, very young driver. He is not even 18 yet, so Mercedes had him apply for a special exemption from the, or they asked for a super license for him, even though he hasn't earned one. He doesn't qualify for one because he's not 18 years old. So Mercedes has filed for an extension. Yeah.
Colton Herta watching it and seething.
Yeah, right. So if he gets it, well, it's for different reasons though, but yeah.
Yeah.
If he gets it, then there's a chance that he could replace Logan Sargeant by the time Imola rolls around in 2 weeks' time. It would be Antonelli's first race in F1 and a home race for him as well, as he is Italian. So that might be why this is being rushed to now, but the likelihood of FOM granting Antonelli a super license, then Antonelli going through the process of getting signed to Williams via Mercedes development program, and then him being fitted for a seat at Williams and then going in and racing in the span of 2 weeks does not seem super likely. Definitely possible, but yeah, I think that 33% number is a good spot to be.
Yeah, because isn't Williams trying to sign a promising F2 talent early out of the sport and getting into a seat as soon as possible, how we got into this mess in the first place?
With who? You mean George Russell?
No, Sargeant.
Oh, Sargeant. Oh, sort of. I think Sargeant...
I think we can all agree that he's kind of pulled out of the oven a little early.
Oh, yeah. No, for sure. Sargeant, I think the situation is a little different. Oh, but it's not really, actually. Because...
I mean, obviously, the level of promising that Antonelli is maybe eclipses Sargeant a little bit, but...
That's the thing, is Sargeant replaced Latifi, because Latifi was not good for Williams, and they needed somebody. Sargeant was the next guy up in their driver program, but he barely squeaked in with a driver's license, or a super license.
He finished 6th in F2, didn't he?
Yeah, he finished 6th and barely got a super license. And so everyone was questioning the decision to sign him. A lot of people wanted Nyck de Vries instead at that point in the season. We all know how that went. Sargeant got signed. It hasn't gone super well. I know I saw this coming. I don't know. Yeah. I know I said this last week, but to reiterate, I firmly believe Antonelli is too young and is not ready.
Yeah.
And we've seen this. Max Verstappen was too young and not ready. And his first couple seasons were not good in terms of, yes, he was fast, but he crashed all the time.
Yeah. Everybody wants a Piastri, it seems like. Everybody thinks that if they sign an F2 talent, it seems like they want to get a Piastri who's just immediately performing his first season, just like that. He's ready to go.
Hey, I've got a great idea. How about Teo Pourchaire, the F2 champion from last year?
The one who's currently killing it in IndyCar?
Yeah.
Actually performing in races at an extremely high level against veteran drivers?
If you want a Piastri, why not hire somebody who has done everything that Piastri's done and proven everything he's proven, rather than continuously choosing the person who gets sixth in F2 every year and not winning races? Antonelli has not won an F2 race yet. I don't understand this urge to get him in the car. I get that he's promising. I'm not taking that away from him. He's very fast, but he's also extremely penalty prone. He's extremely crash prone. And he hasn't won any races. I think he's finished on one podium this year.
Yeah, he's just going to get chewed up and spit out just like all the other super young drivers who tried coming in too early and got thrown back out.
Exactly. Give him more time. Do not destroy this kid's career when he is one of the most promising talents out there. You don't have to get... I mean, I understand the urgency because Mercedes is in kind of a pickle right now. But I just don't understand throwing away possibly 5-10 plus years of someone's career that could be absolutely sensational because they get chewed up and spit out in the first two seasons they race because they were pulled in too early.
Yeah.
It's just like Charles Leclerc was introduced to Formula One slowly and look where he is.
Yeah, he's doing great.
Yeah. And he won F2. He won F2. Handily.
Yeah.
It wasn't close. So why are we basically looking at someone with similar results to Logan Sargeant in Formula 2 and now saying, this guy is the next...
They're the chosen one.
He's the next Verstappen. He's the next Hamilton. I've heard all these things that he's the next one. I'd be very surprised if he was the next
Feels
Verstappen.
Like I'm going insane.
Yeah. But there's a lot going on. Who knows what can happen, but I don't like it. I don't like it if I'm Williams.
Yeah. No, I mean, even look at like George Russell and Yuki Tsunoda. George Russell didn't really start like performing till his last year at Williams before he went to Mercedes, I feel like.
Yeah, well, that was partially because of the car, but
his last year at Williams, it felt like he was at least starting to outdrive the car.
Oh, for sure. That was when he really started to break out. That's when he got his second place qualifying and, well, P2 eventually at Spa in 21, and also qualified third, I think, second or third at Russia in the next race.
Yeah.
Yeah. George Russell also introduced slowly, but now is where he needs to be. I don't like this whole fast-tracking idea of getting Antonelli into a Williams this year to possibly put him into a Mercedes next year. That is what I've heard is the idea, and I hate everything about that.
That's terrible.
Yeah.
There's so many other drivers.
If you seriously do this, overtaking Carlos Sainz, I don't understand. Like, if their idea is to pull Antonelli into the sport and fast-track him into Mercedes before even thinking about hiring Carlos Sainz, I'm sorry, that's just not... That doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah, and I'm sure Carlos Sainz is demanding a lot of money from whichever team is courting him right now.
Oh,
but
for sure.
It's gotta be worth it, right?
After, you know, some time has gone by and people aren't jumping into things too quickly, which surprises me, but it's also kind of, it's smart for them. The more time goes on, the more I think Carlos Sainz is going to go to Audi. and just bet on Audi being solid in 26. And honestly, that might be the best spot for him, because as exciting as it was to think about Sainz and Verstappen at Red Bull, or Sainz and Russell at Mercedes, you got
to
think
probably
about...
ready to be the lead driver.
Right. Think about from Sainz's perspective, he's been in this competition with another very fast driver for who gets the number one spot, and he's never been the favorite, even when he's been better. He's never been the favorite for the number one spot. It's always been Leclerc. So do you want to jump out of that into Mercedes, where you're going to be in the same situation, or into a Red Bull where you're probably going to have a race-winning car, but you are always the second driver, no matter what? And so, will he win races? Probably, if he went to Red Bull. Will he win championships? Less likely.
Yeah, it turns into almost a Bottas situation, I feel like.
Right. And then in Mercedes, Mercedes has been going downhill very quickly the last couple of years. Yeah. And so why would you want to join a sinking ship that is now losing one of their prized possessions, Lewis Hamilton?
You're trading spots with Lewis Hamilton for... There's a reason he's leaving the team.
Yeah. So then your third option is Audi, where you're going to go and you're going to be the number one driver there in 2025. No questions asked. Hülkenberg won't care, I don't think, even in the slightest. You're probably going to have a horrible car for one season, but you're going to be leading the development on a car that is built by a manufacturer that has a reputation for entering sports and then instantaneously dominating them.
Yep. Yeah, he'll essentially get to be the Verstappen for Audi.
Yeah. He's guaranteed the number one spot. He is not guaranteed a good car, but he is with a company that does not like losing. And if I'm being honest and thinking about it, not thinking about what's the most exciting thing from a fan's perspective, but what makes the most sense for Carlos Sainz, I think this move to Audi makes the most sense in terms of, does he want to win a championship in his career? This is probably his shot.
Yeah.
Unless Mercedes gets back onto form, in which case he'd be fighting for it with Russell. He's probably never going to beat Verstappen in that Red Bull, maybe closer than Perez, but I don't see anybody beating Verstappen in the same machinery. And then you have Audi, where it's a toss-up, but you're their number one no matter what, which I think is attractive to drivers, even if they aren't necessarily guaranteed a race-winning car. So, lots of rants here, but yeah.
How do we start talking about this? Where do
we start?
We started Sargent's last race.
Sargent's last race, and then we just started going off about the driver market. Yeah.
Wow, that's incredible.
Yeah, this is going to be a long episode. And then our last talking point, we'll just skip through it quick. Alpine is making progress. They scored a point this week. Their car does not look like the slowest car in the grid at the moment. That would be the Williams. Yeah, it looks like it's possible they're starting to claw out of this hole a little bit.
Yeah, by the end of summer break, they might even be back of the mid-pack.
Maybe.
Who knows? They get really lucky.
Yeah. Let's go through the standings real quick for F1 before we take a meme break. Standings, we've got Verstappen in first, followed by Perez, 35 points behind, and then close behind Perez, we have Leclerc and Sainz and Norris all right up there, and then Piastri is further down in sixth. Then we have Russell, Alonso, Hamilton, and Tsunoda rounding off the top 10. 11 through 15 is Stroll, Behrman, Hülkenberg, Ricciardo, Ocon, and Magnussen. And then 17 through 21 are Albon, Zhou, Gasly, Bottas, and Sargent. All right, and then Constructors, Red Bull is way out in front, 237 points, followed by Ferrari with 189 and McLaren with 124. Mercedes is way back there with 64 in fourth place. Aston Martin is in fifth with 42. Then we have RB with 19, Haas with 7, and Alpine moves up to 8th with 1 point. And then 9th and 10th are Williams and Sauber, still looking for their first points of the season.
Who do you think's gonna be the first to score points?
At this rate, probably Sauber.
Ouch.
Yeah. Things have kind of swung in the last couple of weeks, and Williams is, I think all the crashing at the beginning of the season is starting to rear its ugly head in terms of the real life consequences that it causes.
Yeah.
So Williams seems very much on the back foot the last couple of weeks, and Sauber for most of the season has been up there with at least one of the cars in, 11th, 12th, 13th. So at the moment, I think there is a chance that Sauber scores points before Williams. And we all know we have that hot sauce bet. And to clarify, because I was confused, and we've kind of talked about this after last episode, the hot sauce challenge thing that Ben and I set up where one of us drinks a shot of hot sauce at the end of the season is in fact on, but it is not for the Pit Stop Championship like I originally thought. It is for the actual
for
championship.
All the beans. Yeah.
So if Sauber scores a point, Ben drinks hot sauce. If Sauber does not score, a point this season, I drink hot sauce.
Yeah. With Williams has been performing, I'm feeling less confident about that, but I'll stick to it.
We'll see what happens.
Needing lots of spicy foods to prepare.
All right, Ben, let's move on to meme break. Do you want to go first?
I would love to go first.
Okie dokie.
Let me get my screen up here. A little headshot reaction. Oh no, now you can see my search history.
Uh-oh.
There we go. Just a simple picture of a salute to K-Mag for torpedoing Logan to give Lando his first win. Absolute butterfly effect.
Yeah.
Then we got a... This is so funny. The Signs radio message telling Piastri to just give the position back or else he's going to get penalized. Like blackmail.
Yeah.
He's just holding him at gunpoint. It's like, hand over the position and you won't get a penalty.
Yeah. It was a really funny moment. The way he was saying it too was like, just tell him. Just have them tell him. If he gives me the position, he won't get a penalty.
It's like he's offering to not give him the penalty himself.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like awesome. That trade offer meme. Like, I receive P4, you receive no penalty.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, so that was pretty entertaining.
Alright. Back to the headshot for you. And the dual capture for me. Patented dual capture.
Patented dual capture. Discord sponsor us.
Please. Yeah.
Please.
Alright. This one I've got. It's a picture of Carlos Sainz post appendectomy and Lando Norris post King's Day in the Netherlands, where he went and had quite a party and ended up splitting his nose open. Not sure how, but this is the caption is the not Verstappen winners of 2024, and it's just two very injured and poorly looking drivers. So I guess winning this year does have a cost if you're not Max Verstappen. You must have some bodily harm happen to you.
Yeah, and you had to have raced for McLaren through 2019, 2020.
Yeah. All of the things line up. But yeah, so those are our memes for this week. Good stuff, as always. This was a very memeable race. There were a bunch of good ones.
Especially because nobody was expecting it to actually be good. Everybody's like, oh, great, the Miami parking lot race.
Yeah, this was the first Miami Grand Prix that I enjoyed watching in its entirety. I think it's the first Miami Grand Prix that I did not fall asleep during.
And I didn't cringe that hard at the ceremony either.
Other than the Barbie pink golf carts that they took to the podium. Yeah, wasn't too bad. They didn't get a police escort that was deafening. Through the tunnel. In the stadium this year, so
they didn't have to wear football helmets.
Oh yeah.
You forgot about that.
I did forget about that. trying to block that from my memory. Thanks, Ben.
I will never forget the Formula One football helmets.
That was insane. We did see Charles Leclerc get nailed in the nuts with the football this week, though. I sent you that picture, I think.
I don't think he did. Can you send it again?
Did I not? I will send it again if I can find it quickly. But while we do that, do you want to go through the standings, scroll up a ways, Ben? I don't think we went through the standings for IndyCar. And look who is at the top of the championship right now.
It's my beautiful IndyCar frat boy, Colton Herta, at the start with 101 points, beating Willpower by one single point. Willpower in second. And then we have Palou, last year's championship winner, 2 points behind Power with 98. We have Dixon in fourth, Rosenquist in fifth, and Award in sixth with 71 points. We have Kirkwood, Lundqvist, McLaughlin, and then Ferrucci rounding out the top 10. Ferrucci has 58 points. It's actually a pretty tight spread between, you know, that 7th to 10th place and another really tight spread between that 5th to 1st place.
Yeah.
Which is always cool to see. I know it's early in the season, but...
There is a race win spread between...
Whipping out the math.
13th and first place. So, very tight field right now.
Love to see it. Thank you, IndyCar.
Yeah.
Yeah, so outside of the top 10, we have Alexander Rossi. How do you say this guy's name, Nathan?
It's VK. That's VK.
VK. Oh, yeah. That's why.
Yeah.
I always see his full name and I freeze up. I was like, who is this? Why have I never heard of him before?
Yeah.
Yeah, Rinus VK. And... 12th, we have Grosjean, and 13th, followed by Ericsson. He just hit us with 49 points. We have Joseph Newgarden with 48 points. He was pretty close to the top, but obviously he got a lot of points taken away after being DQ'd from St. Pete.
Yeah, he'd be second right now. He'd be third in the championship if he didn't get DQ'd.
Yeah, sad, but that's what happens. After him, tied three ways for 15th place is Christian Lundgaard and Graham Rahal. After that, we have a two-way tie for 18th with Marcus Armstrong and Simpson. For 20th, we have Canapino. 21st, we have Harvey, then Blomqvist, Fittipaldi, and Porcher in 24th with 27 points, notably beating out a whole five other racers, because I can do math. No, six, yeah. Beating out six other racers. I don't do this very often. This is why. Notably beating out Stingray Rob in the Prairie.com car by 4 points. So go Porsche. So we have Rob in 25th, followed by Rasmussen, Eilat, Braun, Siegel, and Giotto.
Yeah.
Giotto?
Something Giotto. Like that. Yeah.
In 30th. We have 30 racers.
Yeah, just wait till
on the point spread.
The 500.
Yeah.
So 500 comes around, we'll have a lot more I'll have to put on the spreadsheet.
Yeah, add another half dozen to a dozen racers.
Yeah. Also, Ben and I talked about this months ago, but I have to put a $10 bet on Stingray Rob to win the Indy 500 this year.
Oh, yeah.
And
I almost forgot about that.
Yeah, then I have to... Do I have to message him about it?
Yes, I would like it if you did.
Okay, I'll message him about it. I'll take a screenshot and throw it up on the screen whenever that podcast rolls around.
Hashtag pre.comming for you.
I don't want to feel like I'm dunking on him, but I'm just a guy out here. I don't remember what happened, but I think I was looking at the odds for him to win, and I was like, I could put a $10 bet on him and win like $3,000 if he pulls it off.
That would be incredible.
Yeah. So I will be putting a $10 bet on Stingray Rob to win the Indy 500, as well as probably another driver, likely Alex Palou. But that is for a future podcast. It is the month of May, so not too far off, actually.
Yeah, it really snuck up on me. May in general, that is, not necessarily the races.
Yeah, for sure. This year's flying by. Your New Year's Eve party felt like not that long ago.
I forgot that I had that.
Yeah.
That's insane.
Yeah. Doesn't feel like it was 5 months ago, but...
No.
Here we are.
Here we are.
Okay. Let's move on to overtake of the week. We do not have any pit stop championship data as of yet. Actually, let me just check to make sure real quick. I will give you a quick update if it has come in. We don't have it in the spreadsheets yet because the data is not available. The data are not available. Mr. Johnson would be proud.
Yeah.
The data are still not available.
Okay. Although, is it the data as a singular plural? Like, data as in, like, there's a collection of datums that's data, so you're referring to the collection as a singular, so it'd just be the data is?
Is the data, I guess the data, no, but I'm referring to a collection of datums that are not available from the DHL Fastest Pit Stop website.
Right, but so, it's a single collection.
It's a single collection, but it is multiple datums. So, data being the plural of datums, I don't know. It is probably the data, I don't know.
Can we get a grammar check?
Mr. Johnson would not be proud anymore.
He would not be, he's no longer proud of us.
Shout out to our senior, my senior year stats teacher, AP Stats. And captain of the Rubik's Cube Club at Junction City High School.
Did he really run a Rubik's Cube Club?
Yeah, I was, well, actually, I was the team captain, but he ran it, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah,
that
we...
That is impressive.
It lasted for all of 1 year, and we took second place in the region as a team. Yeah, pretty wild.
That's a company. Wow, okay.
Yeah. It was me and a couple other people you probably know, but... Anyway, this is not a Rubik's Cubing competition podcast.
Something I didn't even know could be a thing.
As much as, yeah, as much as I like to flex that in random situations or in my life. Anyway, overtake of the week. I give this to Lewis Hamilton for his overtake on Oscar Piastri on lap 40 of Miami. Piastri did, granted, have problems with the car, but he was still trying to maintain his position and re-overtake Sainz. Sainz blocked him off, and Lewis Hamilton made an opportunistic overtake around the outside of turn 11. So that is the one for this week. It was actually surprisingly difficult for me to find an overtake of the week this week. With all of the stuff going on, I thought it would be the easiest part of the script, but it was not.
I didn't actually, yeah. That's a good point now to think about it.
Nothing crazy.
No. Well, there are some things crazy.
There were some crazy, but see,
not for passing.
All the crazy overtakes that happened, I can't give overtake of the week because they were either penalized or should have been. So,
can't endorse that kind of behavior.
Yeah, for sure. I'm going to wag my finger at Kevin Magnussen for this week.
Stern talking to.
All right, let's go through our predictions for last week. Keep this show moving for an hour and 15 minutes. Actually, probably not quite because we did start recording a little earlier, but probably about an hour. IndyCar, Grand Prix of Alabama. Pole position went to Scott McLaughlin. What did you say, Ben?
I had Power.
I had Newgarden.
We both had a Team Penske boy.
Yeah,
until
Power.
I made this prediction before the, whatever it's called,
the disqualification?
Yeah, that's what it's called.
Yep, so that's that. And then the podium, we had McLaughlin, Power, and Lundqvist with his first podium. What'd you have, Ben?
I had Dixon, Power, and Pelot. So at least having one Penske boy on there helped out a little bit.
Yeah, I had Newgarden, Grosjean, and Pelot, and I think all three of them... No, Newgarden and Grosjean finished outside the top 10, and Pelot finished like 6th or something.
Chose the wrong Penske.
Yep. Moving on to winning pit stops. It was 3. What'd you say, Ben?
I actually got it this time. I had 3.
You did. I had 2. But you got it fair and square.
Yep. I honestly thought it was going to be 2, the way that everybody was talking about it. And then all of a sudden they started coming in for 3rd pit stops. And the entire field just decided that they wanted to go fast for that last little spurt.
Yeah, it was oddly hot there, too, that day, so yeah. That had something to do with it, I'm sure.
Yeah, there's a lot more dig For sure.
Yeah, we've had some crazy weather in the central part of the U.S. the last couple weeks.
We're about to get some crazy weather in the western part here pretty quick.
Yeah, we've got another storm cell rolling in off the Pacific Ocean, which will, again, make its way across the Great Plains and bring many more tornadoes. So anybody in the Tornado Alley area, I'm sure I don't have to tell you, but be vigilant.
Yeah.
It's not over from everything I'm reading and watching. I've been super into storm chasing the last couple weeks in terms of watching live streams and videos. I watched Twister with my girlfriend the other day.
Are you so excited for Twisters?
I am very excited for Twisters. hopefully we don't get like an F5 that tears through another town right before this movie drops.
I could not believe what I saw. Like, the minute that trailer came on when I went to watch Dune 2, and I saw it, I was like, there's no way they're doing a Twister 2. And the fact that they're doing an Aliens and calling it Twisters, like, I almost jumped out of my seat and screamed.
Yeah. Exactly.
It's insane.
I know. It's the coolest thing ever. We got Alien and Aliens, Twister and Twisters, Predator and Predators. This is a great theme we got going here.
It only worked for one of those franchises.
Yeah.
That to be the better movie, but.
Well, at least we're not going to get like what Tremors did, where we have like Tremors 15. How many Tremors movies are there now?
Sharknado 7, The Sharkening.
Oh my goodness. Sharknado, I've got, for anybody who might be able to see, I've got a Sharknado poster right behind me on my wall. In shot for everybody. Love me some Sharknado. The best.
We should get back to
ever.
The race.
Back to the racing. Thank you, Ben. You're keeping me on track this time. All right, yeah, Miami.
Stop talking about Sharknado.
I've got things to say. Miami Grand Prix. Top five was Lando Norris, Max Verstappen, Charles Leclerc, Carlos Sainz, and Sergio Perez. What was your top five, Ben?
This was a wash. I had Verstappen, Perez, Alonso, Leclerc, and Sainz with Tsunoda as my dark horse. Tsunoda did have a pretty good race, but yeah, Lando winning really messed up my entire bracket.
It really did, yeah. I got one thing right this week. My top five was Verstappen, Perez, Norris, Sainz, and Piastri with Hülkenberg as my dark horse. Carlos Sainz in fourth place was the one that I got correct. Amazing. Norris winning was not on the cards, obviously.
Broke the rules, it wasn't supposed to happen.
Yeah. All right, fastest lap went to Oscar Piastri. What'd you say, Ben?
I thought it was going to be Verstappen.
And I had Carlos Sainz, and I am realizing that I put Piastri with the fastest lap out of pure memory, so I'm going to make sure that I did not lie. Nope, it was Piastri. Okay.
Yeah, because he pitted for mediums towards the end after the damage.
I thought so, but I didn't know if someone else beat him to it. Or like pitted even later, because sometimes that happens.
Yeah.
All right, driver of the day definitely went to Lando Norris by like 50%. Yep.
Well deserved.
Yep. And what'd you say, Ben?
I had Alonso.
I had Perez, and Perez was not the driver of the day.
We're out of time to do Perez slander, but
yeah,
he's we'll on save notice that. For next race.
We'll save it. Yeah, better watch himself.
Yeah.
All right. This week we have the IMS road course, and I'm going to go to revhang.com and check the schedule of racing to make sure there aren't two races before the next F1 race because I don't remember. See IMS. Oh no, because it's Indy after IMS always, and there's like a 3-week gap. Mm. So, the IMS road course is this Saturday. And who do you have on pole position?
You know I got to go with Herta.
I also have Colton Herta. Oddly enough,
there's always heroics.
Yeah, this is a good
at IMS. This is like his track.
This is his track. So this might be the one. And he is the championship leader going into this race, as we have discussed. So this is an important one for him.
Time for him to lose it all.
Yeah. I updated the standings today, and I saw Herta at the top, and I was like, wait, what? Is that right?
How did that happen?
Yeah.
IndyCar is so weird the way that points can sneak up on you.
Yeah, for sure. But I like it though. Yeah. Rewards consistency. Mm-hmm. All right, podium. What do you got for your podium, Ben?
I'm going to have Power, Pillo, and Herta on the podium.
Okay.
I'm going to see if Herta can actually convert this race.
Yeah, I've got Herta, Dixon, and Lundgaard.
I see you've stopped putting Grosjean on podiums.
Oh, yeah, that's over.
That's good character development from you.
Yeah, I try to grow every week. So I've got three people on the podium that have all had very good races here in the recent past. So playing the numbers game.
There you go. That's a lot better than what I did, which was Power, who seems to have been doing well, Pillo, who seems to have been doing well, and Herta, who I hope does well.
Yeah. All right, winning number of pit stops. What do you got?
I'm going to give it two pit stops.
I said three. I said two originally, but I changed it to three because why not?
You're just giving me this one, huh?
Yeah, honestly. No, I don't know. I think we might get some shenanigans. IMS is good at that.
Yeah, a little bit of rain or something like that. Just mess with everybody.
Yeah, for sure. Especially with all the storm systems blowing through the Midwest this week. Might get some surprise thunderstorms. All right. Formula One at Imola. Hopefully, I have no reason to believe that the race will not go on this year. So excited for Imola to come back. It's a cool track.
Yeah.
For those of you who don't know what we're talking about, Imola was canceled last year due to extreme flooding in the area. But it is back this year, and maybe we'll see Kimi Antonelli make his debut with Williams.
Although we hope not.
Definitely hope not. But, yeah. All right. Top five, Ben. What do you got?
Top five. Verstappen, Perez, Sainz, Norris, Leclerc, and Alonso as my dark horse. I think once Verstappen gets the car figured out, it sounded like he got in the hards this race and just completely fell off. But this is much more... I think he has a much better chance of not ruining his win streak again this time.
Yeah, I have Verstappen and first as well, and then I have Norris in second and Leclerc in third. Then I've got Perez and Sainz in fourth and fifth with Tsunoda as my dark horse. Tsunoda's been looking good still, so why
Very
not?
Very solid choice for Tsunoda.
Why not
yeah.
throw him a bone?
Maybe he'll get a podium, who knows?
Maybe. All right, fastest lap, what do you got?
I have Verstappen for this one.
I have Alonso, no clue why. Driver of the day, what do you got?
I have the other Spaniard, Sainz.
And I have Leclerc. Also no idea why.
No anti-Spanish bias here.
Yeah, right. Hey, we're doing our part. Now it's time
yeah,
for the
I'm
FIA.
Doing my part.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All
Stop
right.
the Spanish Inquisition. No, that's not how that...
Not quite how that went.
We should finish up.
Yeah, for sure. We do not have any questions this week. Ben, do you have any words of wisdom this week?
You know, it was hard, but I think my words of wisdom this week are making sure to... No, I just had them. I didn't write it down because I thought I would just remember it.
That was your first mistake.
That was my first mistake. The words of wisdom this week are to write things down when you think of them. That way you don't forget them later on, because no matter how good your memory is, there's always a chance. So it's always good to write things down. It's something I do at work. It's something I do at home for notes, something I do just to stay organized because I really need to. And it has saved my butt many a time. I've never hurt myself by writing too much down.
This is true. Absolutely true. And I can tell you for a fact, once the camera turns on, the brain turns off. Writing things down, definitely a good idea. I do it all the time as well because I forget a lot of things.
Yep, Nathan and I have to screen share so we can share the single brain cell that we should use.
Yeah, that's what it is. Get Discord Nitro and you can share more brain cells with your friends.
All two of them.
All two of them. Not sponsored by Discord, but we could be. All right, that rounds off this long installment of RevHang. Thank you everybody so much for watching and or listening. If you enjoyed this episode, leave a like or rating on the platform you watched and or listened on. Subscribe or follow if you'd like to see more. If you want to see updated standings for IndyCar and Formula One or a calendar of upcoming racing from those two series, check out our website, revhang.com. If you have a question about racing or about us, hit us up on any socials in comments or DMs, and we may feature your question on the next show. You can follow Ben on Instagram at BenGMeetsWorld and myself at 2N_squared. You can follow the RevHang page on Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, and TikTok at RevHang Media. We'll be back in 2 weeks to talk about the IndyCar Grand Prix at IMS and the Formula One Imola Grand Prix. But until then, I've been Nathan.
And I'm Ben.
Thanks for hanging out.
See you later.